Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Dr. Nameen from the Center for Work Life. I hope you are doing well. For those of you that live in Florida, I hope that you are just as blessed as we have been during these past couple of weeks with all the hurricanes. My family and I did not go anywhere out of town. We stayed here in Orlando, and thankfully, everything turned out just fine with minor scratches here and there. And for those that are still out of power, it must be very difficult. I can only imagine. So I hope that you listeners out there are able to have the ability to have your general listening technical issues resolved because of the hurricane issues, and I hope that you're able to listen in. Today's show is going to be mainly discussing the concept of emotional intelligence and succession planning and leadership. For those of you that you know my work, we mainly focus on emotional intelligence, and the reason for that is because I'm a firm believer of the fact that emotional intelligence is one of the core competencies, and a lot of people mistake that by thinking that it's a soft skill. Absolutely not. I believe that it's not only a science, because it's backed by so much of the neurocognitive abilities and the ways that the cerebral cortex works, as well as the emotional centers of the brain, like the amygdala. But it's also an art, because part of it is the communication dance. I call it a dance because of the fact that in a dance, there is a process of back and forth and leading and following. And you always have to be a good listener in order to be a good communicator as well. So having said that, I wanted to discuss a case with you today. I recently worked with a gentleman that was a senior project analyst at an Ohio-based firm as a software company. And he was hired as part of an expansion process, and he came in with a lot of great ideas. We'll call him David. And he was quite shy, and he didn't always know how to interact, mostly especially with Type A colleagues, because he was mainly Type B personality. So as a result, what happened was that he was mainly getting left out of discussions and work dinners, and he was basically losing out on a lot of assignments as a result. And so when he came out to visit us here in Florida from Ohio, we first started talking about what are some things that were possibilities that were occurring. We needed to identify what were some of the challenges that were hindering his growth in the company to be able to help him succeed. So one of the main things that I started encouraging David to do was to start having conversations with his direct report, with his supervisor, we'll call him Robert, and I asked him to basically try to find out what are some of the reasons that he believed that David was being kind of in a solitude situation. And what he came back with was that, according to Robert, he was hired for a role that didn't seem like it matched his skills and interests. And so he was brushed aside by coworkers because they thought that he couldn't do those similar things that came easily to others. And then after several months of being there, when they were sitting around with a whole group of colleagues, David was assigned a task that had to do more with strategic objectives, and he knew that he was going to be a good fit for it, but he wasn't really feeling like the colleagues had that much confidence in him. So upon our work together, it was basically discussed that he would go back to Robert and ask that he would be assigned to this group. And being that he was very good in strategic planning, he would be more involved in strategic objectives. And so as a result, in this particular setting, he came to be very alive in this new role. And before long, he had assumed the position of managing the group and was actually beginning to come to be very included within the office environment. So what took place was basically that by reassigning him to a project that was a better alignment with his skill set, the organization was able to avoid losing a very valuable person and employee. So had he, meaning David, tried to persist in doing some of the tasks that were not necessarily where his talents lied, he would probably not receive the maximized fulfillment, and his value wouldn't be realized in the company. So having said that, there are several cases that I can bring up and discuss with you as well, but because of our timeline today, I want to just jump right in and talk to you about the fact that in organizations, a lot of times when there is anything that has to do with putting someone in a position of leadership, and I, of course, by saying that, what I mean is specifically leadership, because I know some companies are very leadership-oriented, which means each and every position has some leadership qualities to it, and they encourage that everybody acts like a leader. That's not what I'm referring to here. I'm here referring to specifically leadership roles that have to do with supervision of at least, you know, 3 to 5 individuals and direct reports. So in these kinds of situations, when you put individuals in a team setting, what happens is some of them immediately shine and some of them don't. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not good at what they do. They're actually very good and strong in their skill set, because if they were not, they would not be on board to begin with. But what happens is that some of the differences are not necessarily acknowledged right off the bat. So rather than acknowledging the differences and welcoming them and also creating that trust, what ends up happening is the elephant in the room, which means a lot of times this individual is going to have to jump and run circles to try to prove himself or herself rather than being automatically welcomed and included. So a couple of notes that I want to make sure that we talk about is that, first of all, as a leader of a group or a team, the first and most important thing is we have to first check our own behaviors and biases, because we all have tendencies that might make people feel excluded. Then there's also the concept of empowering others. So sometimes the lack of trust that we may have in different settings may disallow us from including everybody. So sometimes you may assign tasks to people that are maybe more outgoing because they have either had a discussion with you in the past or you know of their work because of the fact that they have, you know, worked with you before, or so many other reasons. But this empowers others because it makes them feel not trustworthy. And so continually working together to create an inclusive culture is the most key aspect of what we're talking about here. It's an ongoing process. It's a cyclical process. It's a process that involves a give and take. So you may not necessarily feel that the individual has the skill sets in that area, but you can always look for what skill sets they do have that you do notice. And so you can provide the opportunity for them to shine in that area. And before you know it, just like the situation with David, there will be a complete shift. So what are some of the things that I definitely recommend against? One of them is, like I said, glossing over differences. So people want their unique contributions to be noticed, and they also want those unique contributions to be valued. One of the beautiful aspects of us living together on this beautiful planet of ours is the fact that we are different. So our values are different, and as a result, our value propositions are different. So what we offer is different. So specifically, we want to make sure that in a particular environment where there's all sorts of diversity, the diversity is the same as the inclusion aspect of it. So we're incorporating everybody, we're including everybody's input, and as a result, from a group dynamics perspective, because of the fact that we make that a top priority, then we will notice that the productivity is going to be higher. Even though a lot of times people assume that productivity has to do with time, yes, it does, because productivity is efficiency as well as what has been achieved time-wise. But in groups, sometimes what will happen is at first, the process will be a slow process because people are warming together and they're learning about each other. And then eventually you will see a huge momentum because now there's a growth curve that has happened. So the last thing I want to say is don't leave anything to chance. Be proactive about promoting inclusion. We will talk about this topic more. It was a pleasure being with you today again, and stay tuned to our future programming. Have a wonderful day.